90.1 KCFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
And you are listening. You are listening to Ecotopia on KCFR, exploring ecological issues, environmental, social, and technological. I'm Susan Chudy.
And I'm Stephen Chudy. Tonight we'll be talking about the This Way to Sustainability Conference, an annual conference held every year at Chico State, coordinated by students, the largest student-run conference in the U.S. It will take place this Thursday and Friday, virtually, of course.
Our guests are Cassidy Giorgi, one of the student coordinators of the conference, in charge of hospitality and special events, and Cynthia Daly, professor of agriculture and the conference director.
We'll also be talking with Kathy Faith, who is here to represent the Chico Co-op. The co-op is seeking board members, and she'll tell us what that entails.
Ecotopia is made by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Certified Farmers Market. Markets featuring three markets in Butte County, year-round Wednesday morning in Chico at the North Valley Plaza, Saturday year-round at 3rd and Wall in downtown Chico, and a seasonal market Tuesday mornings in Paradise. The Chico Certified Farmers Market, connecting farmers and food lovers since 1980. The opinions voiced on Ecotopia do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to talk with Cassidy and Cynthia.
The planet for another day.
This is Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 in Chico, and with us by phone right now are Cassidy Giorgi and Cynthia Daly. Cassidy is a Chico State student and hospitality and special events coordinator for the This Way to Sustainability Conference.
And Cynthia Daly is the director of the Center for Regenerative Agriculture and Resilient Systems and professor in the College of Agriculture. She is the This Way to Sustainability Conference director. This popular, well-attended conference is being held virtually again this year. Welcome to both of you.
Great. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Cassidy, let's start with you. You're one of the student coordinators of this event. Can you tell us what the role of students is in creating the This Way to Sustainability Conference?
Yes, of course. So I work with one other student, Sarah Johnson, and we have been working with our team of three other supervisors in curating this conference. We have many different roles. My specific role has been outreach, managing the logistics with speakers, managing the conference program, facilitating a poster symposium and art gallery, and facilitating the platform SUBA, which is what our event will be hosted on, and proposal space, as well as working with numerous Excel files.
So how did you get involved in the This Way to Sustainability Conference?
So I've known about this conference for a while, as it's through Chico State University, and I was able to get involved with this from a professor who recommended that I apply for this position, and I am now I've been with the team for several months now.
Mm-hmm. We always wonder, how do you get your schoolwork done while you're doing this massive job of organizing the conference?
It was tough last semester for a while there, juggling being a full-time student, taking 18 units, and doing this position. But right now, I'm actually able to juggle it because I'm a senior, and in my major, I have to do a internship for my last semester, so I'm actually doing this as my internship. So I'm able to juggle this because this is my full-time job.
Excellent. Question for either of you. Could you tell us a little bit about the history of the conference?
Do you want me to take that one, Cassidy, or do you have that one?
You can take that one.
Okay. This is the 16th annual conference, and it was started many moons ago by the then provost Scott McNoll, who was very much into the sustainability mode. He's the one that actually created the Institute for Sustainable Development, which originated this conference. And it's always been a very strong student-based conference. It's always been coordinated and developed by students. And so Cassidy comes from a long line of students that have taken on this as a job and have been able to pull together all of the resources that we need in order to make it happen. What makes this conference a little bit different is that it was 100% virtual, which is the first year we actually had some lead-up time. Last year, because of COVID, we had 2 weeks to transition, and we did that very quickly and pulled it off with the highest registration we've ever had. So now this year, we've had, a full 12 months to kind of figure out the online virtual format. And so we're anticipating that we'll have an even better registration. But, just cross your fingers. And hopefully through venues like this, we'll be able to solicit additional registrations. It is free for all students, and it's just a minimum of $50 a day or $75 for the 2 days for other people. All of our speakers, of course, and any of the folks that participated in the conference development are comped.
Right.
We're just trying to cover our costs. That's all.
I was amazed last year when you all were able to pull that conference together as a Zoom conference at the last minute. I just reckoned that it would be canceled, but That was very impressive. So congratulations on that, Cindy. I'm sure you were strategic in that.
It's a nail biter.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what's the theme for this year's conference?
The theme is resilience from the ground up, strengthening diversity in soil, communities, and economy. It's a long one.
It's a long one, and it takes in just about everything. So what are the goals up for the conference?
Yeah, the overall goal is really about environmental literacy. It's about getting that message out about, the current state that we're in, and to provide hope, talk about solutions, to get people really talking about this topic and get them engaged in the dialogue. I think ultimately, the conference is put on and developed by students, and 80% of the attendees are students. And so the idea is to get them engaged, to be informed citizens and want to do more about this particular problem that we face. So, it's a pretty big issue. It's going to take a lot of folks working very hard in order to overcome. So environmental literacy is the goal.
And could you tell us a little bit about how those goals differ? You said 80% of the participants are students, but you also have faculty members, community mm-hmm. members. Do you differentiate at all in your programming, or do you just figure that everybody can benefit from everything that's there on the program?
All right. What we have been trying to do is diversify into all the colleges. We've spent a lot of time selecting keynote speakers that will speak to different disciplines on campus. So the idea is that the tracks are designed for each college on campus so that every college can embrace their own track and populate that with 6 breakout sessions that with material and presentations and speakers that they want to hear from. So we've been focused on that, and those speakers have come from all walks. They could be students as student presentations, they could be student projects, they could be faculty, and they could be faculty from any campus or university. These could be businesses. A lot of it has to do with the selection process, and Cassidy ran the program that we use in order to rank proposals that are submitted back in the fall. So maybe she can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we were wondering how you put the conference together. So Cassidy, tell us about that.
Yeah, so there is a lot of outreach that goes into receiving all of these proposals so that we're able to have plenty of speakers in our conference. So this year, we actually had an abundance of proposals, which thanks to being virtual, we're able to get proposals all across the board from anyone, anywhere. So the way that the platform works, it's split up into 7 different categories. So I'll read off those 7 different breakout sessions. There's environment, land planning, natural systems, built environments, engineering and waste management. There's health and wellness, diet and nutrition, sustainable food systems, and regenerative agriculture, entrepreneurship, marketing and supply chain management, and there's social justice, public policy, and lastly, art, humanities, and creative expression. So basically, just about every area can be covered through one of those 7 different tracks, which is our goal, is to have something for everyone. So the way that proposal space works is anyone can submit a proposal, and then we basically go through, we read the proposal, and then who's selected is able to move on and is able to present in the conference. We also do have poster presentations, which we have creatively morphed into a virtual presentation this year. So how that will be showcased is the poster presentation is going to be virtual and accessible every day of the conference. So all of the poster presenters have submitted a unlisted YouTube video, which is accessible, and that's about a 5-minute video explaining their posters, And then they've also submitted their virtual PDF poster document. Mm-hmm. So these posters have been submitted in any of the seven tracks. So they're super versatile and differ from one another. So that's kind of everything that goes into proposal space, as well as things that will be implemented into the conference.
I wonder if you have any data or just a sense of where the proposals come from. Do they come from students primarily, from faculty, from people off campus? I'm guessing that maybe with the virtual format, you get more people from out of town than you might have had in the past. But I'm just curious as to where those proposals come from.
Yeah, so we have many different proposals. We've received them from students, from professors and students. We have people from different towns and different schools that will be able to present together this year, which is awesome. We have people that are professors, people that have their PhDs, people that are specialists in specific sections of sustainability. We have artists. That's a broad spectrum of different people with different specialties.
Right. Yeah, they are from all walks of life. We have some agency people that are presenting. We've had some from California Department of Food and Agriculture. We've had some from the RCDs, from the Resource Conservation Districts. We've had some businesses that are marketing sustainability-type products that have a particular presentation that fits the theme and fit within a particular track. So, you know, this could be business folks that have some ideas and thoughts that they're going to share in a presentation. So, yeah. As Cassidy said, all across the board. We even have some authors with us.
Oh, cool. Cassidy mentioned the poster display, and that's available throughout the whole conference. I was looking at the conference program, and you can just visit that at any time. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's currently up, and anyone can visit that right now.
And there's also an art,
beautiful
art being displayed as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have a virtual art gallery, and it's actually our first year being able to do that. So we were thinking on how we could implement arts, humanities, and creative expression into our event more, and we decided that an art gallery would be the perfect way to do that. So we put out a call for artwork, and we've received art from many different people, from artists, professional artists, students, and people that are involved in the art galleries in Chico State. So we've had several different submissions, and that's going to be a very unique thing this year. So mm-hmm. We have this art gallery that you're going to technically be able to walk through, in a sense. So you're going to be able to go room to room, and each slide on this, so to speak, Google presentation that'll actually be downloaded, will walk you through these different rooms, and they look like a room from an art gallery, but it is all virtual. And you're able to click on the box, and then once you click onto the box, you can read a little bit about the artist. You can see who they are, you can read their bio, and read about what the art means to them, and it all relates back to sustainability. So there is different things, so to say, like an earth being destroyed, and it just kind of caps on what we're doing for our planet and how our planet's responding to everything. Then there's different things like just the beautiful earth and plants, and just kind of whatever an artist submitted and how their own personal spin on the way that they are seeing sustainability through the lens of artwork.
It's a bit of a side note, but could you tell us a little bit about the electronics behind this massive effort? Who sets it up for you? This doesn't sound like an ordinary Zoom conference.
Yeah, so there's many different things that we've had to get creative with and had to learn. For the art gallery, Sarah Johnston, who was unable to meet with us today, she actually found this platform and this YouTube slide and was able to curate it for our specific conference. So there's many different logistical sides and many different platforms that we're getting to work with and learn, which as a student is actually such a great opportunity because I'm learning so much.
Let's talk a little bit about the keynote speakers. It's a really impressive list of people. I was especially excited to see Leah Pinneman on there, who wrote Farming While Black, because my daughter-in-law read her book and loved it. And so we're excited to hear from her. Tell us a little bit about the keynote speakers and how they were selected and what their... Hello, what they're bringing to the conference.
Yes. Good. The keynotes were selected so that we could really speak to the different disciplines on campus. So we were looking for the speakers that were, you know, cutting edge, innovative, working on environmental literacy, working on resiliency in the different disciplines. Leah Pinneman obviously comes from the sustainable food and regenerative ag perspective. And she also, deals quite a bit in terms of social justice. And really on campus, we, you know, the president unveiled her new strategic plan. And the strategic priorities include equity, diversity, inclusion, and sustainability and resiliency. So Leah really addresses those two at a minimum of our strategic plan. And as you said, she authored a new book called Farming While Black and really has done a lot of work with respect to social justice, food sovereignty, training people to become farmers, which is really what we need to have happened. We lost a lot of farmers at the turn of the century due to a lot of, you know, politics and bad acting. And her organization, Soulfire Farm, is a training ground and a CSA, and it's a viable business, but they also train farmers, particularly farmers of color, to get, you know, back into the farming industry and to become successful. So they teach them not only how to farm, but also how to be successful at it. So we are looking forward to that. I think it should be a very interesting presentation, and we hope that we'll have Leah back to do workshops on food justice and really trying to address some of the racism that's innate in the food production system. Mm. I mean, we have systemic racism in a lot of areas, and food production system is one of them. She is going to talk a little bit about that and how we might address it. So that's the job that Leah has ahead of her. The other speakers, Bill Shireman is going to start off tomorrow at 9 o'clock. On Thursday, excuse me, on the 25th. His keynote is at 9 o'clock, and what Bill will do? He's the president and CEO of a company called Future 500, and he also teaches at the UC Berkeley Haas Business School. He is the co-founder on an organization called Bridge USA. And he's also an author of a book called We're In This Together. And, you know, his presentation is going to be about overcoming barriers, trying to overcome economic barriers, political barriers, social barriers, and say, you know what, we're all in this together. We're on this one planet. How is it that we can work together and leverage each other and solve the big issues that we have in the climate crisis? So that speaks to the business college is our hope. We're always looking for ways that we can bring, you know, the business majors into this conversation, because they certainly play a role in solving the climate crisis. And that's going to be Bill's job, and, you know, talk a little bit from a business point of view, you know, how you can address climate by reaching across the political aisles and the economic aisles.
Just another note, we had a brief interview with Bill a couple of weeks ago. We had technical problems, so we only got him on for 15 minutes. But he sounded fabulous, and the whole direction that he's taking seems to us like a really important one. We can't depend solely on NGOs and volunteer organizations to get the job done.
Right. Right. Yeah, he too has a book. So I plan on making some of that information available online so that people know where and how they can go ahead and access that. But you know, certainly with Google, it doesn't take too much to be able to Google their latest books and that type of thing.
So we have two other keynote speakers.
Good. So Cassidy, do you want to talk about those, or do you want me to finish up? Totally up to you.
You can go ahead and talk about them, Cindy. I think you're doing a great job at it.
You do a great job, too.
I think your grade just dropped from an A to a B.
I tell you, the students have done a fabulous job. The HUVA is a conferencing software program that we are trialing this year. And the students have done a fabulous job, Casey and Sarah, figuring out the platform and uploading all of our components and all of our program and making it ours. And then the beautiful thing is that all of the links, everything about that is going to be available through that HUVA website. So I think it's going to be a great venue to facilitate our 100% online conference. The other two keynotes, Jennifer Atkinson is a professor in environmental humanities. So here we're trying to address the social scientists on campus. She's from the University of Washington, and she puts on seminars and speaks often on eco-grief and climate anxiety. When you really kind of dive into the statistics and you really look at the data, it's kind of overwhelming, and you know, we only have so much time that we need to be addressing, you know, this issue of greenhouse gas emissions and the impact that it's having on climate change. And her research looks at the grief that's associated with that realization. And in many cases, she feels as though, you know, students are depressed to the point of apathy, just inactive. They don't even know what to do. So that is going to be her message. What it is that we can do, how it is that we can overcome our anxiety over this overwhelming problem that we have. She also is going to do a workshop for us post-conference. So between Leah and Jennifer, I think we've got some really great opportunities to follow up these keynotes with some hands-on kinds of activities. Catherine Wilkinson is our fourth and final keynote. She will actually deliver her keynote on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Leah Penniman, by the way, Farming While Black, is going to be delivering her keynote on Friday at noon. So we changed that time slot just a slightly bit for Leah. Catherine is part of the Drawdown Project. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with Drawdown, but it is the number one resource out there on all of the climate solutions to the climate crisis. So she was an editor and a major player in the production of that particular book, and now she has got a new book out called All We Can Save, The Drawdown Review. And she'll be working and talking specifically about that and how we can engage women and girls in these conversations and how important it is that we do have women involved in the climate solution. I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation about gender equality and, you know, the fact that, you know, most of the people who are going to be more broadly impacted by the climate crisis are going to be women. And so we really need to get women engaged in this conversation so that we can find those kinds of solutions. And that's what Catherine will talk about. So each of our speakers are going to be solution-based. So, you know, clearly it's a bad situation, but we had hoped. Well, we're going to work on hope. We're going to work from that framework of hope. And every keynote is going to be talking about how we find solutions.
That's wonderful. Solution-based thinking about things, that's what we need at this point. Are there other features of the conference that you'd like people to know about? We have the keynote speakers and the art and the posters and the breakout sessions. Is anything else going on during this conference?
There is discussion board opportunities and meetups that you can organize around a particular topic. So if you happen to be a part of one of the 42 different breakout sessions and find it particularly compelling, you can retreat to a discussion board area or a meetup on the Whova software and continue to have these conversations. Lots of opportunity to network, and in many respects, there's more opportunity to network with this online Whova software than there is on a face-to-face type conference, because you can actually ask questions. You can continue to communicate with the keynotes and with other speakers in the process. So that's kind of an interesting approach. And so there is a logistics center and other speaker centers. So if you really want to drill down on other speaker backgrounds, there's a speaker center page, so you can identify the bios and other pertinent contact information for each of the speakers that will be presenting during the conference over the course of 2 days.
That's really good, because one of the things that I felt like might be missing is that opportunity to interact with people about the things that I've just heard about, the things that are going on in the conference. So I think that'll be really helpful. And I think it's good for shy people too, people who can't go up to somebody easily and start talking to them. This will give them an entry into the conversation. Who should come to this conference?
Our conference is free for all students. I know we already said that, but that's definitely something to emphasize, is that any student, whether they be younger, elder, in college, in high school, anyone can join our conference for free. So it's a learning experience, and any student can learn their impact and how to help our environment and help our world. As well as anyone who's interested in any of the 7 tracks, which basically covers a wide group of everyone. And then anyone who's willing to and looking to participate in a virtual conference. I know that our shift to virtual has only been, we haven't been virtual for that long, and participating in a virtual conference comes with such a large learning opportunity.
Please tell us one more time how people can register for the conference.
You can register at the This Way to Sustainability conference page. So it, as long as you just type in This Way to Sustainability conference to any web browser, that conference should pop up on the Chico State webpage. And then there's a red registration button that's at the top of the page.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. We know this has been a busy week for you. Our guests have been Cynthia Daly. She's director of the Center for Regenerative Agriculture and Resilient Systems Professor. I think you need an acronym for that. College of Agriculture, and director of the conference. We've also been talking with Cassidy Giorgi. She's the Chico State Student and Hospitality and Special Events Coordinator for This Way to Sustainability. We are really looking forward to the conference. It's a great lineup of speakers, and we thank you so much for your efforts on behalf of our community.
Thanks so much for having us tonight.
Yeah, thank you. I want to highlight one more event on the conference that I have been involved with. The Environmental Community Gathering will be held on Thursday from 4:30 to 6. Ordinarily, this is a live event, as are most of our events from the good old days, with appetizers and libations. But this year, the Butte Environmental Council and the Environmental Coalition of Butte County are holding a virtual event. We invite you to come. This is where you can meet with local environmental leaders about local issues from various organizations. In this virtual meeting, you can visit various rooms from different organizations and learn what's going on in Butte County. Again, sign up for this. It's 4:30 on Thursday. Thank you.
the sidewalk and on the city streets. There's water in the puddles that I splash beneath my feet. There's water in the air when the day has just begun. Each drop of water on the grass reflects the morning sun. I like water that is flowing, going down a river run. I dive into the breaking waves out in the ocean. I like it when I'm hiking, drink my water cool and slow. I like it when it's hot and bubbling up from down below.
From the mountains to the sea.
Blue, blue planet. It's a reason life can be.
Blue, blue planet.
Water up and water down.
Blue, blue planet.
Bringing life the whole world round. Think of where it's been before I drink it down. Water is a gift, bringing life to the land. Each drop's a celebration when you're on the desert sand. And when you're in the jungle in a canopy of leaves, the constant water dripping is a reason life can breathe. And when you're lying on the grass looking at the sky, water flows around the world in clouds rolling by.
From the mountains to the sea.
Blue, blue planet. It's the reason life can be.
Blue, blue planet.
Water up.
You are listening to Ecotopia on KZFR. With us on the phone now is Kathy Faith. Kathy is a member of the board of directors of Chico Natural Foods, our local food co-op. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you very much, Steve and Susan. I love that song.
Okay. Well, we'll put it back on underneath you while you talk. Now, tell us a little bit about Chico Natural Foods for those who may not be familiar with it.
All right. Well, you know, as I was listening to the This Way to Sustainability folks talking, I thought, oh my goodness, this is such a Is it a jump in a different direction? And I realized, no, it is exactly not a jump in a different direction. That the Chico Natural Foods is everything about all of this. It's farming, it's food, it's supporting good soil practices by supporting the farmers that use those, you know, those practices. It's nutrition, it's sustainability systems for the future. It's about cooperative economics and cooperative business structure that is different than other business structures, and it's local. So I thought, oh, it's so much an active version of what the conference is about, and so that was exciting to think about. And the co-op is an old, you know, pretty old institution in town. It was started years and years ago in the 70s, and a lot of people know that story. And it started in a parking lot, started with buying clubs back in the day. And it was a way to get food, food that people wanted at affordable prices. If you buy together, you can get cheaper food, and then you figure out how to divide it up. And so it basically came from that concept. Until it became a store and a full business.
It's a membership organization. How many members do you have in the community?
Well, right now there's over 2,000 members from our community, and it's the organization is member owned. It's not they're not just members. We own a piece of this business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a board of directors, and the board of directors is responsible to the owners and is responsible to guide the general manager, who then runs the store. And one of the things I thought about the other day, someone had said this to me, and they said the big difference in a co-op is that you know, all businesses exist to serve their owners. And so if a business is owned by an individual or family, the business exists to support and benefit that individual or family. If it's a big corporation, then the business exists to enrich their hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of shareholders. But when it's a cooperative-owned business, when we own the business, then the profit is to support the members, which is to put it back into the store. So we aren't skimming off the top, giving, you know, stakeholders the profits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting to me that it's our store.
All right.
Yeah.
What are some of the other benefits of membership in the co-op?
Well, it's, you know, there are one. Well, the benefit I for me is that I love when I used to be able to go in the store before COVID was walking in and feeling at home, and I've always felt at home in the co-op because I've been a member since its inception. But they've been doing so many new things so that. For instance, they spent a lot of time getting the MORE program in place, which is a 50% discount on California-grown produce to all shoppers who use CalFresh. So if you come and you're a CalFresh member, you get 50% off of all this California-grown produce, which is organic and local. So that's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And the other benefit is that... you're shopping, there are 1,089 local products in the store. And there's 4,500 something that are farther afield. But 1,089 local products it's an amazing testament to our area, you know, in the North State, and what a rich food place we are. And then the other thing is that the produce department is entirely organic or sustainably grown, so people can be assured of that. And there's a fantastic curbside pickup,
yes,
which is, you know, really helpful. And the thing is, I realized that as I'm looking at when you get online to do the shopping and all the products are there, and you can sort, so you can put, I want to look at what kind of plant-based meat they have, or I want to look at what kind of meat they have, or I want to look at what kind of sodas, or I want just kosher, or I want fair trade. And you click on these different items and you create your own shopping cart, and you can look through sales, and you could do all your shopping at home. And then after we can go back into the store, I'm trying to figure out a way. I think you can click this and make your own order sheet, and then go in and do your shopping, and you've already got what you know is on sale, and mm-hmm. all of that sort of, you know, okay. ease of shopping.
Tell us a little more about the board of directors. How much does that involve for you as a board member? And then tell us about the vacancy on the board of directors of Chico Natural Foods.
All right. Well, I was on the board many years ago when we first began the co-op, and I can tell you it is nothing like that. We used to sit on white buckets turned upside down and, just by the seat of our pants managed to run a store which we knew nothing about how to do. So now it is not that way, and it's in... I believe, 3 seats open right now. And it's a great way to take leadership, a leadership role in the co-op, because we do oversee the general manager, and we attend monthly meetings, and we are on committees. It's for me, it's been a big learning curve because it's policy governance, and there's a whole world in understanding how policy governance works, and I'm noticing that most of the directors say it takes about a year to actually be able to figure things out. But in the meantime, our input is really valid, and you don't have to have a whole lot of. I have no financial background at all, but there are people on the board who do, and. There's people who have, you know, we all have different backgrounds, and so we represent the membership. And so when we come to do the work, we're a great little cross-section of the membership and how we can serve the membership.
What's the length of the terms, and how do people apply?
Well, there are one, I think there's one and two-year terms, or maybe 1 3-year term, and you can find that all out on the web, on the Chico Nacho Foods website. Very easy to find it. And you, the election takes place in April, and the applications are due by the end of March, so it's very soon, which is why we're drumming up business. And when you're on the board, you get a 15% discount, which is an amazing discount. And I have to say, you do kind of work for your discount, but it's worth it. And you must be a member owner for 6 months prior to the election. So if you've been a member owner for, and we are all member owners, in case anybody's going, oh my gosh, well, I'm a member, but I don't know if I'm a member owner. You are. If you paid your membership fee, you are a member owner, and you have a share in the store. So you have to have been a member owner for 6 months. And the board members should be able to make a commitment about 10 hours per month, which is, means that monthly meeting, and then serving on committees, which are really fun and wonderful, and you learn a lot. I mean, you learn about business, you learn about how to cooperate together. And that's, I wanted to read a quote because I'm actually reading this wonderful book called Collective Courage, and it's a history of American cooperative economic thought and practice. But it is the history of African-American cooperatives that have been happening and why they've been happening mm-hmm. for so long. But a man named Bristow Adams observed that, quote, successful cooperation means the ability to work so that the other fellow can work with you. And I'm just amazed that that simple statement and that simple fact just it rears its head over and over again of how I personally, at my age, was not trained how to work cooperatively. It's been accidental, you know, where you get, and even though we started teaching as cooperative groups, but to say that you're going to work in a way so that your the other fellow can work with you is just a really it's a such an important concept.
Mm-hmm. Tell us one more time, Kathy Faith, the website, the deadline for applications and so forth for membership on the board of directors of the Chico Natural Foods.
Okay, the website, you just look up Chico Natural Foods Co-op and you'll get to the website very easily. There is a section there that says, we want you to run for the co-op, or we need you to be a board of directors, and you can click on that. And the application is due at the end of March, and then there will be an election during April. So if you are a co-op member, even if you're not going to run, we hope that you will keep track and pay attention to the election.
Okay, thank you for that info on the co-op. Kathy Faith, we're now going to ask you to change hats. You
okay.
are also running a book club on behalf of Aqualliance, and Aqualliance has been on this program many times, defending North State waters. Tell us a little bit about your book club. What's the book? Who might be interested in joining these discussions?
Okay. Well, this is a national bestseller called The Dreamt Land, and the subtitle is Chasing Water and Dust Across California. It's by Mark Arax, and it is one of the most amazing books I've ever read, and if it weren't for the fact that it's not the cheeriest history in the world of our water in California, but the writing is just fantastic. I mean, he's a journalist. What else is he? He's a journalist and a farmer. Steve, you right remember. What else is he?
He worked for Los Angeles newspapers and that Southern California News Cooperative for a long time, but has written several books, including The Dreamt Land. As I was saying about it, his writing, it reads like a page-turner, but it will boil your blood.
Exactly.
Really, from page one.
I knew you could say it very well.
He just gets much bad stuff has gone on in the South, and they're paying for it, and we're paying for it. And Mark gives you just a lot of good California history. There was a great deal I learned about, particularly 19th century California, that I hadn't known previously.
Yeah, and it he relates. It's like every little piece of information we've heard from Father Seraph, you know, the missions, and you know, just the, it's all laced together. And water has so much to do with so much of it. You know, it's you know, all the way through the mining and so on, but to the water conveyance system now. That we all need to be really aware of, because mm-hmm. it's conveying the water that we need, you know, as for people. But so if anyone would like to join this book, it's really great. We only met once, so you don't have to worry about being behind, because we've only met once. And already it's a very exciting and kind of, it's a very action-oriented group. So I would say, if you are interested in joining the book club or finding out more about the book, it would be probably best to go through Ecotopia and get information there about my contact information.
Yes.
And and I know that's ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com.
That's correct. Send us an email, listeners, and we'll put you in touch with Kathy and the book club. Yeah, it's a very enjoyable experience, a good book to read. We want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, Kathy Faith, first to talk about vacancies on the board of Chico Natural Foods, and secondly to talk about this Aqualliance-sponsored book club reading Mark Arak's, I just lost the title, you're going to have to tell it.
The Dreamt Land. Chasing Water and Dust Across California.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy.
You, Steve. Thank you, Susan. Bye.
And that's it for Ecotopia for tonight. You've been listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico. Thanks for joining us. To learn more about our shows, to listen to archive shows, go to ecotopiakzfr.com. You can also hear podcasts of recent shows. Find Ecotopia wherever you get your podcasts. You can also email us with comments, suggestions, ideas at ecotopiakzfr@gmail.com.
And coming up in just a few minutes, it'll be North State Give and Take with Bobby Tryon, followed at 6:30 by Ginger Nichols and Radioactive. Thanks very much for listening to Ecotopia.
Weave me the sunshine out of the falling rain. Weave me the hope of a new tomorrow, and fill my cup again. Sing it with me. Concrete crumble, shine on me again. The proud and the mighty all have stumbled, shine on me again now. Weave me the sunshine out of the fall, out of the falling. Weave me the hope of a new tomorrow, and fill my cup again, fill it again now.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
North State Give and Take is made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling Cotton Party at 893-4923. And by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and by appointment. More information at 530-898-9525. State Give and Take. My name's Bobby Tryon, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KZFR Chico. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Alyssa Larson from the Stonewall Alliance here in Chico. Welcome, Alyssa.
Thank you.
I sort of turn this over to people because they know better than I do about what we're talking about. So the Stonewall Alliance here in Chico is its own chapter?
Yeah, we're not a chapter of anything. We're a